I've had a number of you come to me and say, so what's Foursquare? What do those four squares mean? What is Foursquare? So I'm going to tell you. I have a video here that I got off our website, and so I am going to play that for you, and it'll tell you what those four squares mean, okay? Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
So why do we call ourselves Foursquare? Believe it or not, it has nothing to do with our skills on the playground. No bobbles, double taps, or Texas twisters. Back in the 20s, our founder, Amy Semple McPherson, began referring to the message of the gospel as being Foursquare, which back in the day meant solid and balanced. Amy's message focused on four essential aspects of who Jesus Christ is, and those aspects are easily represented by the logo before you now. The first box, the cross, represents Christ the Savior. Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God who died on a cross to pay the price for our sins. Because of his sacrifice, we can actually have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. The second box is a dove, which represents Christ as the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, a dove came down and landed on him, showing the Spirit of God was one with Jesus. The Spirit of God does the same thing today. In fact, we describe our movement as Spirit-filled, because the impossible is possible when people are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The third box is a chalice, which represents Christ as the healer. Jesus cares and is involved in all of our lives. Whether our issues are emotional, spiritual, or physical, God has the power to heal the deepest of wounds and cure the darkest of afflictions. And the final box is a crown, which represents Christ as the soon coming King. Simply put, Jesus is who he said he was. No matter how dark or confusing the world may get, Jesus will be returning one day to make all things right. So there you have it, four squares, representing four aspects of Jesus Christ, making a four-square doctrine that is solid and balanced. We may not agree on every little aspect of how we live our lives as followers of Jesus. As long as you join with us in believing in Christ as Savior, baptizer with the Holy Spirit, healer, and soon-coming King, well, your faith sounds pretty four-square to us.
Did that help you? I thought it would. Okay, so I've entitled my sermon today, Prayers That Get Answered. And before we start, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to lead us into all truth. Jesus, when you sent your Holy Spirit, you said that he would come alongside us and teach us and lead us. So, Holy Spirit, we're trusting you to do that today. Prayer is so important. And, Holy Spirit, I know we need to understand this so that our prayers are heard and that our prayers are answered. So, Father God, we just ask for your anointing on your word today. Go forward with this. Open our eyes of understanding and help us to understand this basic and most important principle. And relate to you. In the powerful, strong name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I am not able to do this on my iPad like I've normally done. So we're going to try to do this as best we can. I'm not sure how to follow my notes on this. Hey. Let's see if I can find my notes. There we go. All right. So, as I was pondering about preaching, and I've been biting at the bit wanting to get back up here to preach, I love preaching with you, not at you. I came across a video that was done by Francis Chan. How many of you ever heard of Francis Chan? Not very many, but He's an amazing preacher. He was pastoring a church in the Bay Area in San Francisco for a long time. And I came across this sermon he did on prayers that get heard, was his title. As I watched the video, and by the way, guys, if you want to see more of his stuff, he's on YouTube under Crazy Love. Look up Crazy Love, and you can find all these sermons for the last 20 years. It's amazing. Okay, enough of that. So, it got me thinking and praying about prayers that get heard. And do all prayers get answered? No. Do all prayers get heard? No. The answer is no. And we're going to talk about that today. But we're going to take a first look. This is the scripture that he used to start the sermon off. So turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to Hebrews. Hebrews is almost to Revelation in the New Testament. So go to the New Testament, keep going till you're almost to Revelation. If you get to Revelation, go back to the left a couple more books. But Hebrews is right there. Okay, now I got to be ambidextrous here. All righty. Let's do that again. There we go. The Bible says, while Jesus was on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God answered prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Now, the first thing that I think is interesting is Jesus, the second person of a three-person being, is talking to or praying to the first person, the Father, of this three-person being. And so our minds have a hard time wrapping around Jesus being fully God and fully man. But the author of Hebrews, which I personally believe is the Apostle Paul, there are some who disagree with me, but I believe Paul has his fingerprints all over this. He wrote this so that we would understand that Jesus was fully man. Look what this says. While he was here on the earth, he offered up prayers with a loud cry and tears. Now, when you think about that, when you think about Jesus, do you ever picture him as agonizing like that in prayer? It took me back, and I thought, whew, okay. It's here, and God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. So I thought, okay, let's look up that word reverence. Let's see what the word actually means. So, I looked this up and it says, reverence for God involves a deep sense of respect, of awe, and love, recognizing his divine nature and authority. It is a profound feeling of admiration and humility, often accompanied by a sense of fear in the face of his greatness. Reverence manifests in various ways, including acts of worship, obedience, and a commitment to living a life that honors God. Believe it or not, I got that definition from AI. AI was right on that one. Notice the word in there that says that we should be, there should be often a sense of fear in the face of greatness. I want to tell you that that word fear can mean a lot of things, but one of the things in context with God is not to be afraid of him. Unless, of course, you are stubborn in your sin, be very, very afraid. Because the Bible says it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. However, for us that are believers, that are choosing to rest in our salvation, knowing he's forgiven us, that fear is a sense of awe, a sense of reverence that we just go, wow, he's so big. He's so great, right? So that's important to understand too. But we see that God answered Jesus or heard Jesus' prayers because of his deep reverence for him. And I have to admit, I don't always approach God that way. And this verse really convicted me. I sometimes think of God as my buddy. That's fine. He's my friend. He wants us to be friends. But we're not really friends with people if we don't respect them, right? If we don't respect our friends, are we really friends? We need to have that deep reverence for God, knowing that he's our friend and we are his, but not in a disrespectful way. The last phrase I highlighted up here, because I think this is the key for our prayers to be heard, is a commitment to living a life that honors God. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. That just means our whole focus, our whole intent on living this life here on earth is to honor the God who saved us, who loved us so much that he was willing to die for us. I want to look today at a couple of things. When we do not live a life that's honoring to God, that is not reverencing him. And I think a lot of times that's why our prayers aren't even heard, let alone answered. But I want to look at some scriptures that show why our prayers are hindered. Okay? So the first one is found in Proverbs. Proverbs 28:9. Proverbs is right after Psalms. So if you're in your Bible, you open it to the middle and go to the right. You'll find Proverbs. But it says, God detests the prayers of a person who ignores the law. Now, this isn't talking about our laws here in the United States. This is talking about God's law. I'm sure we've all heard of the Ten Commandments, right? That's God's law. If we ignore that, if we ignore the things that Jesus has told us to do to obey him, God detests our prayers. Because that's kind of an arrogance, isn't it, to ignore what God wants? He wants that for us to keep us safe and healthy and whole. He's not trying to be mean to us by having a list of do's and don'ts. He's given us this guideline, this user manual, so to speak, of how to live our lives so that we can be happy and fulfilled in him. So, one of the things is if we go around with a lot of pride or entitlement, I think that's a little better word, that God owes us somehow, that God will always hear us because, you know, we're a good person. We'll get to that. Okay, the next one is in Job. Job is before Psalms, so go the other way, go to the left, and you'll find Job 35:2. And Job, he's talking to his friends, and he says, and when they cry out, God does not answer because of their pride. Ouch. What does that look like? What does our pride look like? Anybody have a guess? Huh?
Looks just like me.
Yeah. So our way. We want our way, not God's. We want our way and not God's way, and that's pride. And that is going to hinder our prayers. And the next one is in Isaiah. Isaiah is after Proverbs and a few books over. Isaiah 59:2 says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Wait a minute. What does that mean? Jesus has forgiven me. We see in John 1:9 that God says, but if We confess our sins to him. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, right? So why would he not hear us if we're in sin? But we're not in sin because God's forgiven our sin. You see the biggest little word there? The biggest little word is if. Prayer being heard and answered is conditional. Our salvation is not, but our prayers are. And what we have to remember, and I'm going to talk about this a little in depth right now because we need to understand this. When we accept Jesus and his sacrifice that he made for our sins, all of our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Hello? Isn't that good news? Yeah. Are you all awake? That is awesome. It's a done deal. However, as we look at this verse a little more clearly and with understanding, we see that if in there. So let's tear this apart. If we confess, that word confess in the Greek means agree. So if we agree with God that, whoops, yep, I blew it, because the Holy Spirit's very faithful. I always feel like if I've messed up, not if, when I mess up, I feel like he comes and taps me on the shoulder. He's so good. He is not mean. He is not condemning. That is not God. But I feel like he comes and taps me on the shoulder and goes, Steph, you want to rethink that? Was that the best way to handle that situation? Or how about you rephrase that thing you just said to so-and-so? He's good. He comes and he keeps me heading toward God, right? If we agree with God that we've blown it, he's faithful and just to forgive because he already has, and he will cleanse us. Get this, guys. He cleanses us from the unrighteousness. Wow. That's huge. When he cleanses us, he cleanses our conscience, and that helps us to where we don't give Satan a foothold for shame or for guilt to come creeping back in, because he cleansed us. That's a hallelujah. That is a hallelujah. But if we don't agree with him, now, the only thing we do to be saved is to believe. Would you agree? We don't earn it. Couldn't earn it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the only thing we do to be saved is to believe, correct? So the only thing that would send us to hell is if we stop believing. I, for one, will never stop believing. Never, ever. There's nothing in this world that will ever make me stop believing in the Lord. How about you? There are some, though, with this verse, that they harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit going, hey, the Holy Spirit wants to get our attention because, not to be mean, but he wants us to keep on the path of life, making right choices that are healthy and whole for us and glorify him. Would you agree? But every time the Holy Spirit comes and says, hey, and we harden our hearts and we decide to go our own way, our hearts get a little harder and a little harder and a little harder. And I can't tell you when it happens where we no longer hear his voice. But I've seen people who've been walking with God and choose to go their own way and walk away from him. And I don't think it happens right then. I think he's still going to them. I believe he loves us so much, he will continue to knock on that door. Continue to try to win us back and get us back believing. But if we were to die in that state of unbelief, don't go there. When the Holy Spirit knocks, answer, right? Let's not try to figure this all out and how far we can go before we stop believing. That's not a heart that loves God. That's a heart that loves our own way. So that's what this is talking about here. That previous verse that we were looking at. Sins. Unconfessed or lack of being with God about our sins, that eventually God will just not be able to hear us. It's not that he won't save you, it's he can't. You don't believe, right? So don't go there. Don't go there. The lesson to learn is always the Holy Spirit and be quick to agree with him. Yep, we blew it. Okay, 1 Peter 3:7. Now, this is an interesting scripture. Peter's talking about husband-wife's relationships. And he says, in the same way, must give honor to you can hear me. She may be weaker than you are. That's debatable. But she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Wow. But I also believe the opposite is true for wives. Wives, when the Bible tells us to submit to our husbands, and husbands are submit to their wives, Ephesians 5:21, submit yourselves one to another. Paul talks about the wife's submission as being one where she respects her husband. And the husband's submission to his wife is that he loves her like Christ loved the church. If we're not respecting and loving and honoring each other, it's very clear here, our prayers will be hindered. So make it right with your spouse. Make it right. If they don't repent, okay. Honoring and respecting God. Prayers will not be hindered. So let's recap. To have our prayers heard and answered by God, we must come to him with a deep reverence, just like Jesus did. Okay, whoops, I'm not ambidextrous, I don't do this well. Okay, look at that again. Let's read this again. Reverence for God involves a deep sense of respect, of awe, and love, recognizing his divine nature and authority. It's a profound feeling of admiration and humility, often accompanied by a sense of fear or awe in the face of his greatness. Can manifest it in various ways, including our acts of worship, obedience, and a commitment to living a life that honors God. That's how we reverence him deeply. So, when we feel our prayers are not being heard by God, are we being deeply reverent towards him? Do we have any unrepentant sin that the Holy Spirit has convicted us of? It's never God's problem when prayers aren't answered. It's always us. So we need to be able to humble ourselves before this mighty God and be willing to let him show us our hearts. God, why aren't you answering? Are you hearing me? How many times does it feel in our lives where God just doesn't hear us? Anybody ever experienced that? Is it just me? This must be just me. Come on, be honest. There are some times when we pray and we feel like our prayers hit that ceiling and bounce back to mock us. At that point, we need to say, okay, what am I doing? How am I living? What is keeping me from that communion, that sweet communion with God? When God shows us, okay, stand by. Did I not screw him? Okay. See, it's my fault. Never those guys. It's always me. I'm so technically challenged. Forgive me. But when we agree with God, when he shows us those areas of our lives, and he's faithful to do that because he loves us. He loves us so deeply. He's not willing for us to head down a wrong road. So he'll convict us. We agree with him. Yeah, I could really do that differently. And then we get back on the right track, because that's what repentance means. Repentance means we turn 180 degrees. We go the other way, right? And so when we choose our own way, we're heading along like this, not seeing the cliff we're coming up to, and the Holy Spirit goes, whoa. Rethink that. You just did this, and it's not life-giving. Oh, you're right, God. And we start heading toward him. That's repentance. That's repentance. It's not a big theological word. It's very simple. We just change the direction of where we're going. Next slide. 1 John 3:22. What I want to do now is look at the scriptures that guarantee our prayers will be heard, okay? And that they will be answered by him. 1 John 3:22. Book of 1 John is backed by Revelation. It's not the book of John that's really thick. It's near the end of the Bible, okay? If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. John wrote this, the same John that wrote the other book, but he was writing this all about God and love, God's love for us, our love for God. And he says in verse 23, and whatever we ask, we because it pleases him. There's the condition. Do you see that? Do you see that? God's not obliged to do whatever we want. When we love him, okay, what are we doing now?
Try plan B.
Plan B? Yep. Okay. When we love him, you can hear me without this, but that's not truth, okay? Because Jesus took all our punishment on the cross. God's not going to thump on us. Jesus took our sin on the cross. And so love motivates him. Love motivated him to do that for us. We love him, John says, because he first loved us. And he gave his life for us. Sorry. So that motivates us to obey him because he loves us so much. But if you get caught in that trap of, well, I got to do this for God because if I don't, he's going to be really mad. Mm-mm. You have a wrong idea of who God is and what your responsibility is, because God doesn't want you coming begrudgingly and going, I'm here to worship you. Or, I got to read my Bible today. I don't have time for this. No. God doesn't want it then. Just walk away because your stinking attitude
He doesn't want that.
He wants you to willingly come to him. Hebrews tells us that if we're going to please God, we got to believe that he is first and foremost, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Wow. So, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. The next one we're going to look up is Matthew 21, 22. Jesus is talking about this now. He says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it. Uh-oh, there's that big little. If you have faith. Prayers are always conditional on God's response of how we come to him. If we have faith, not in what we're asking for, you know, like there's a lot of this positive mental attitude out there, this positive thinking. Okay, that's divine. Not that we shouldn't be positive because of what Jesus has done for us, but just because we positively think something is not, and it comes about, I don't think that's the Lord. I think we're tapping into demonic energy. Our faith needs to be in God, and that he loves us, and he said that if we want to please him, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's where our faith lies, in him, and trusting him. No matter what we're crying out to him, he's hearing us. He's with us. And thank God for unanswered prayers. How many times have you prayed for something and later on in life you're like, oh, thank you, God, that I did not marry that person. Right? There's certain things that we pray from a selfish motivation, and we'll get to that in the book of James. But God answers us. He hears us because we believe in him. And that's where our faith lies, is that we believe in him. Okay, next scripture, yeah. John 15, 16. This is Jesus again. You did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. And here we don't have that if word. We have so that, which makes it conditional. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, this is one that we need to tear apart a little bit, okay? We got to break it down. Jesus chose us, and he appointed us to bear much fruit. What kind of fruit should we be bearing? When the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us after we receive that forgiveness of sin, he starts producing fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. There's no law against those things, the Apostle Paul says. And as we are producing that fruit, we're being light to the world. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. Because our lives should be so free of letting that light shine out of you. Have any of you ever had people come to you and go, what's different about you? In a good way. What's different about you? Right? Because they're seeing Jesus in you. That light in you draws them to you and in turn to Christ. Do you see that? So, that's fruit we're bearing too. We're to plant seed, we're to water seed, and we're to reap the fruit. Some of us water, some of us plant, some of us get to reap the harvest. Either way, we're producing fruit, and that fruit will abide. So that whatever we ask the Father in Jesus' name, he may give it to you. Now, that phrase, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The word name there isn't like just praying Jesus, saying Jesus, although there's power in that name. It's what that name means. That word name is authority. In Jesus' authority, we ask. Not our authority, Jesus' authority. Excuse me, just a second. I have had allergies. How many people have been having allergies? Oh my gosh. What is going on? We went up to Tracy Aviary last weekend, or the weekend before last, with the ladies. And it was raining. It was snowing cottonwood. Oh, so excuse me. But it's important to recognize that when it says in Jesus' name, and it does say that in a lot of scriptures, Jesus says it all the time, when whatever you ask in my name, in my authority, he will do it. So the next one we're going to look at is in the book of James. Now, James, he gets really clear on how our prayers are heard and answered. And we need to look at this because James has a lot of insight. He was the brother, he was the physical brother of Jesus, half-brother. Joseph was his father. Jesus' father was God, but Mary was both their moms, or both of theirs. Mom. Did I say that? Anyway, both of them had Mary as their mom. James 1:5 says, if you have wisdom, our, get this, generous God, I love him, give it to you. He will not rebuke you for. But stand by. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. What did we just talk about? About believing in God, and that's where our faith needs to be, is in him. He said, do not waver. A person with divine loyalty is as blood. Expect to receive anything from the Lord. I think I'm getting out of that range of the mic because I notice when I'm over here, it doesn't work. But anyway, our faith has to be in God alone. We can't be divided in our loyalties. What does that mean? It means we have one foot in and one foot in the kingdom. We're divided. Yeah, we can't mess. The one in hate. So when we are unsettled like that, it's like a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Okay, so how many of you have ever been to the ocean? How many of you have walked out and you saw this little ripple out there and all of a sudden it's upon you? Knocks you over and you can't get up. Yeah, that's a scary place because that tide will pull you right out. And then another one will come in and throw you back up there. When you're fooling with the ocean like that, never turn your back on the ocean. When we're divided in our loyalty, where we have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, we're unstable. If that's you, don't expect to be receiving anything from the Lord. Wow, that's harsh, James. Why would you say that? Because it's true. Let's go to chapter 4 of James. This is a little lengthy. It's like four verses. But James is clear on this, and it is important that we look at you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Ouch. How many have ever asked God for things like that? Just because we want it. James says, "You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him." That's huge. He has put his spirit within those who believe him for their salvation, those who are trusting him for our forgiveness. And he did that because he's jealous for us. He wants us to want him and him alone. Nobody in the world can save you from hell. Just the opposite. Everything in this world will lead you to hell. And hell is not a place we want to be. Some people joke, or I hope they're joking, but I don't need to, I know I'm going to hell. At least all my friends will be there. Okay, first you need new friends. But hell isn't that way. It's not a time where you're just going to go have a party and just goof off and no cares about God, because you see, hell is a place where God does not exist. Jesus said that hell is outer darkness. How many of you have ever been in the caves of Tipinogos? And you remember when they turned the light out? I felt suffocated. It was so dark. You could not see your hand in front of your face. Hell is worse than that. It's outer darkness. Now, I've never been to outer space, but I have a feeling that's pretty dark too. You know, we see Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever. We never see that outer darkness as something really bad. But hell is outer darkness, and Jesus warns us that in hell, there will be such thirst, and so much pain, that there'll be gnashing of teeth. Have you ever been hurting so bad you just grit your teeth? Hell is that constantly a state of death, because God is light and life and wholeness. And if you say, "I don't want anything to do with you, God," he loves you too much to force you to be with him. You see, he gave us choice when he created us so that we would freely choose him. He didn't want robots. His love gave us choice. And that's why there's evil in the world. His love, he took the risk. He saw it. He was outside of time. He knew there would be some who didn't choose him. And they would do evil. They would do horrendous, horrific things. The depravity of man against man. We see it on the news. We see it everywhere. And yet hell, there will be no God, which brings light and life and wholeness. But if you choose that you don't want God, first off, you're a fool. And secondly, he'll give you what you want. Hallelujah. An eternity in a state of death. You won't just die and stop existing. No, no, no. You will suffer for all eternity, which is like a long time. Always in a state of death because you chose to reject God. Don't do that. God has made it so easy for us to have light and life and wholeness because of what he did for us. And he didn't just make it so simple as for us to believe. He then empowers us. He comes in and lives within our spirit and empowers us to say no to sin and yes to him. Because he knows how weak we are. So he does it all for us. We still have to choose, okay, in the morning, we're going to die to our selfish nature. Paul said he died daily. What was he dying to? His selfish nature. We are too. We get up in the morning. Thank you, God, for another breath. I die to myself today. You are dead to me. Don't put that on your mirror if you're married. Just don't. Unless you've talked to your spouse. But I counseled a couple one time, and I was counseling the wife. The husband was not in the room for some reason. And I told them, put that on your mirror. And you're dead to me. So when you get up in the morning to brush your teeth, you see it. And then I thought, uh-oh, no, don't do that. Because that would not be a good thing to send to our spouse. But we need to be reminded. Paul died daily to his stinking selfish nature. We need that too, so that we can live in the Spirit. God's given us the power to live in the Spirit. So when we are praying, because we're in the Spirit, we're obeying him, we're loving on him, we're worshiping him, we're in awe of him, our prayers are heard. And whatever we ask in the authority of Jesus, he'll answer. Okay. Worship team, come on up. So I want to close today with prayer. I want our prayer team to come up. And if you need prayer today, if you need somebody to agree with you in prayer over something, please join us up here for prayer. We'll pray with you. But once we're done praying, then I want everybody to remember that you're welcome to the cafe. We can pray in there too. But that's where we fellowship. That's where we hang out with each other. We encourage one another and we get to eat food. Christians are always about eating food. But so if you need prayer, thank you guys for coming up. You can pray with Dave or you can pray with Jim Bob, Don. We have so many Dons in this place. But let's pray right this second and ask the Holy Spirit to show us how, if there's anything that are hindering our prayers, okay? But if you need special prayer for something special, please come up here. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've encouraged us today, Lord. You've shown us the if. You've shown us the conditions for you to hear us and to answer our prayers. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your convicting power that you come alongside so lovingly and you tap us on the shoulder and you say, hey, this is what's wrong. And we agree with you, Lord. And then you cleanse us of that unrighteousness. Right now, I ask that you would move over this congregation and that you would convict our hearts of anything that is keeping us from having our prayers heard. Anything that's keeping our prayers from being answered. Lord, you are so good. Show us. And then thank you for the strength to come in and yield that to you and agree with you. And then cleanse us of that unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Move on us today. Holy Spirit, move on us. And we glorify you. And we worship you in deep reverence. This all in the powerful, strong, authoritative name of Jesus. And we all said, Amen.